Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialist Kimberly Weeks and strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi, and welcome back. Today's episode, we want to delve in and talk to you all about the process of grief and what that looks like when this relationship with the narcissist comes to an end. All that you might experience, go through, and just the complexities of that. Yeah. Mm. If we can encourage people to have the courage of this really scary unknown of what that's going to feel like, to look at that pain, there's something really beautiful that you get to gather through that process. Because avoiding it because you think you'll get stuck is actually getting stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then a lot of people will most likely be asking then, how? So then how do you sit with pain? How do you process pain? How do you get through the pain of loss and grief? It's really important to understand the difference between feelings and emotions at this point. And so, you know, you've heard me say it numerous times, right? Emotions are energy in motion. So they want to move through and out of your body. And so this is why we laugh if something's funny, we cry if something's sad, we yell if we're angry, or, you know, we throw punches, whatever it is, when we're angry. We're emotion, it's the nervous system trying to dissipate all of that extra emotional energy. It's very kinetic energy, moving energy out of the body so that it can go back to homeostasis, so it can go back to equilibrium balance. So that's emotion. In grief, there's going to be a lot of emotion, but there's also going to be a lot of feeling. So, and this is where the distinction of feeling comes in, where feeling is energy in location. So energy in location is the lump in the throat, the broken heart, the pit in the stomach. And so, and however else somebody might experience feelings, feelings feel stuck. Mm-hmm. Emotions, you can feel the emotions, just like a lot of people will say, oh, it feels like it's pulsing, or it feels like it's warmth, or it feels like this. Everybody can kind of identify the movement of emotion, but the stuckness of feelings is what most people have a difficult time with. And what they don't realize is that the feeling is centered within them, the epicenter of the feeling is within them, but the energy is much larger than them. So they are in it. It is not, you know, stuck within them. And they try to control it within them. And this is what makes them feel overwhelmed. This is what makes them feel like, oh, I'm never going to get out of this. But if you are able to identify where the centers of your pain are, now, there's a lot of kind of traditional teachings around this, right? They talk about the chakras. Mm-hmm. You know, where in the chakra regions do you feel this pain the most? And that's where the feeling is going to sit. So it's like you have to sit with the feeling. You can't get rid of it. You don't figure it out. It figures you out. Now, that may sound like a bunch of weird language, but for instance, I'll give you an example. I'll use my personal experience. In my personal experience, I often feel pain, especially within the discard or significant relational loss, lump in my throat, pain in my heart. And they're both very identifiable to me, right? And all I want to do is just, you know, go find a doctor and can you just extract these lumps, please? Right? Because that's what they actually feel like in that moment. But it's about being able to sit down and be present with them, allow them to be what they are and recognize the center of that energy. And then from there, you start to pay attention to how large it actually is. Because if all of that pain is stuck in the confines of your throat region or your heart region, it's very constricted in there. So then to close your eyes, and it's not imagining, it's like paying attention to how large it actually is, even though it's centered there. I experience it almost like a bubble, and I just let the bubble be as large as it is, as it needs to be, right? And I often ask people in grief, you know, is that bubble the size of this room? Is the bubble the size of your neighborhood? Is it the size of your city, your country, the planet, the universe, larger than universe? Like, how large is that energy, right?
Yeah, so you're talking, this is a little bit of that integration process that we talked about in our previous episodes. Yeah, the physical body needs to have a voice. So I like how you talk about that, the focus in a certain area. So if you're focusing on your throat, there are tangible things you can do to help even release or start to, I don't love the word release here, but start to like vibrate the area so that it has movement and motion to it. So it has a way to express, and so that you can sit with it and you can tangibly feel it. Same thing with any part of your body. Part of that can become with the feeling is about moving your body in specific ways. So that experience in your body has an expression and is being honored and cared for like a child who's wounded themselves. You would hug them and hold them and clean their wound and put a Band-Aid on them. So you do that energetically with each part of this ache that is happening within you. So if people are going to ask tangibly, like, what would we do? Breath work, moving the body. You ask yourself, you ask your throat, you ask your heart, what do you need? What do you want to say? What are you feeling? You can write, you can, there's really an endless amount of things that you can do to honor the expression of that. One of the things I've talked to people about is, you know, if they have this creative side to themselves, is allow your throat to paint that. You know, that might sound silly, but allow your heart to paint that. It's without our critical mind's judgment. Personally, I've done that. I'm not an artist, to be clear. But I have done it at nighttime with the lights off so that I can't judge what it is I'm doing. I don't get the distraction of that. I just get to have the external outlet of the experience so that the physical achy feeling has a voice.
I love how you say that, where the physical needs a voice. It needs an expression and an articulation. So if that's a creative outlet, if that is a list of emotions that you just go through the list and like circle it or point at it and recognize how many emotions are actually in that experience, sorry, feelings, how many feelings are in that. And in some situations, there are emotions that are wanting to move out and through as well. And if you do this well, if you do the creative process, the creative expression, or the even verbal articulation or identification of what is actually all packed in there, it can start to move as emotion. And so it's very important for exactly what you're saying. Like, that is the simplest, most concise way I've ever heard it. Just let the body have its voice and help it articulate, just like you would a child. As you're talking about, it's like, okay, how are you feeling? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling this? Are you feeling that? But this is where it's like, yeah, the internet is a great resource. Go print out an emotions sheet, a feelings sheet, and just look at it and, you know, just say, oh, that's what I'm feeling, or that's what I'm feeling, or that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Right? And you'll be amazed at how many things you can point to, right? I feel betrayed. I feel disappointed. I feel disheartened. I feel, and like the list goes on and on and on. But when you find those articulations, you're now giving voice to the body.
It's your attentiveness to the wounded part of yourself, which if you need to assign, you know, as if you're looking after a child in that, then do that. It can sort of soften your approach to your own pain. Yeah. I think it's about attentiveness and honor and allowing the expression, allowing the voice to be there. And it's all reasonable. So if we can keep that critical judgment out of it, it's all reasonable. You're experiencing that feeling because it's linked to something. And as you do this process, you may even discover things that aren't even relationship oriented, but more, I mean, this gets a little bit beyond what we're addressing, but it can have the opportunity for you to see why you got in the relationship to begin with. Mm-hmm. That information's all sitting there. Mm-hmm. And once you know that, then guess what doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love how you're saying there's even more information that sits there. This is why I say you don't figure it out. It figures you out. It articulates, it starts to speak to you. This is why it's so important for you to sit with it. For anybody who hasn't had this experience, this may not make sense to you, but if you are able to hold space for that experience, and it's holding space where, like Kim, you're talking about here, free of judgment, and it's just like, okay, let's find the voice to it, let's articulate it, and all of that space is being held, you'll be so amazed by what revelations you have from it. So this is why you don't want to distract with coping, because you miss all of the richness that's actually available. And quite frankly, if you just use your coping strategies, the body just gets louder and louder and louder anyways, until you can't distract yourself enough from it. And yeah, your copings will really kind of tear you to shreds, you know.
I have another analogy for you. So what you're really doing in this process is you're building a muscle. And the muscle is the practice of this attention to yourself and what's happening. So if you were in a car wreck and you broke multiple bones, you would be attentive to what you have to do to heal this bone versus this bone, your ankle versus your wrist. So if you're feeling this pain in multiple parts of your body, you're going to build the muscle of this practice of the process with the attentiveness to each of those areas so that you can heal. And then what happens is you get stronger and it becomes easier to look at something further down the road. The process becomes easier and less painful and doesn't take as much time, and you can gather that information in a quicker way. Mm-hmm. You have been in an emotional car wreck.
Yes.
So if you can think about it in that way, that you have to actually allow and be attentive to how you heal from that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, an emotional wreckage.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really good. And so it is. It's identifying where in your body, that really is the first step if we're to break it down into steps, where in your body the break is, right? The heartbreak, the whatever else feels broken in there.
And it might feel quite physical. Like, I've had my heartbreak personally lands as back restriction. Right? It gets really tight and restricted. That is where my heart hurts. Right? So, you know, it can be a very physical thing. It's not always sort of this intangible energetic spot. It's also that. But if people are thinking, oh, well, my shoulder just hurts, your shoulder might just hurt, or your shoulder might hurt because you were in an emotional wreckage. So mm-hmm. Our organs can hurt from that.
Yes.
Our body holds emotional trauma and memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to remember that. And it manifests physically sometimes.
Yeah, that's very good. So the first step is identifying where in your body you experience the pain of loss. The next step, like you were saying, let's give voice to that feeling or to that spot. Let's find the articulation. Let's find the expression for it in a safe space.
Yes.
Of course. That can be your own room.
Mm-hmm.
It can be with a trusted friend. It can be with a therapist or coach. Yeah, if you're having a difficult time processing this on your own, yeah, of course, we're here to offer support. You can reach out to us or some trusted therapist or friend in your area. As long as they're familiar with it, they can really help facilitate the process for you, as long as they're safe and can hold the space and help with the articulation. So then that's that articulation part, holding the space for it. The non-judgmental part is incredibly important. And if you're doing this process, now this is why process is such an important word. And this is why the idea of tasks is really important here as well. Because a lot of times when you hold space for this, you'll feel like you actually move through it and you get to a point of resolve. But that doesn't mean it's not going to maybe come up again. Maybe not as intense, maybe a few percentages shy of the intensity of what it was previously, but it might cycle back through. This is the waves of grief. So when it cycles back through, just do the same thing, find the same articulation. And so there's a cycling effect to grief. So, and a lot of people will feel discouraged by this because they'll feel like they went through it, they got to a point of relief or resolve on that, and then it comes back and they go, oh, shoot, I thought I was over that, or I thought I was past that. Well, you're past that step of it. Now you just have to go through the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and the next step. So my analogy is it's like a wheel. And so if you think of a vehicle and you think of a turning wheel while it's moving forward in direction, there's a top part of the wheel that when you look at it perceptively, it looks like it's moving in the same direction as the forward movement, as the front of the car. That makes sense. It should be. So you're on the high side and it feels like, oh yeah, I'm getting through this. But the real traction and the real healing happens in the low spot where, oh shoot, I'm back into it, right? But this is now where when it's making traction, you know, perceptively, if you look at that wheel, it looks like it's spinning towards the other side of the vehicle, right? So if you feel like you're cycling through, that means you're gaining momentum. So the cycling is actually a good sign. And over time, the cycling will speed up. So at first, what happens is the frequency of the grief or of those tasks slows down. So the waves slow down a little bit, but the intensity is still there. If you go with the natural change of frequency, and the only way the frequency changes is if you do the work that we're talking about here, you'll get more of that pie chart circle. It will feel like there's less grief and you'll feel like there's more, oh, I actually feel normal for a moment, a larger period of time. So now feeling normal is up to 10% and I feel like I'm stuck in grief 90%. And that ratio keeps changing over time. We've talked about this before, but it's always good to reiterate it. So yeah, as we're cycling through with that wheel and gaining momentum, don't be discouraged when you get pulled into what you already went through.
Yeah, it'll get quicker. Oh. The intensity will dial down.
Yeah, so sorry, that's the second part. So first the frequency, the waves start coming slower in frequency, and then as it kind of equalizes frequency-wise, then the intensity starts coming down. So the intensity comes down later. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's a beautiful reminder, people, to like just keep letting it happen, keep following along. The cycle is a positive reflection of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else can people expect? Is there anything else people can expect in that? I mean, it's such a thick and rich experience that, you know, I don't know if it's possible for us to touch on what every moment of that is going to feel like.
Right.
But hopefully we're giving you an overview of a sense of the pain of it, but also the value of doing that work.
Well, and grief is a learning process. We've briefly touched on that too previously. It does take some getting used to. And even if you've been through grief before, every loss is different. So it has its own kind of flavor to it that you just have to get familiarized with. Once you're familiarized with it, then you can embrace the process a little bit easier. You start to identify, oh yes, that's where the center in my body, that's where I feel that in my body, that's the epicenter. This is how large that feeling is. This is what it is. Articulation, expression. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good encapsulation of the grieving process. Now, of course, for each individual, it's different. There may be some things that come up, specific questions that certain people have. Again, feel free to reach out to us, ask those questions. We're happy to address those however we can for you. So, yeah, I think for the most part, that kind of encapsulates this concept of grief. I will say one more thing before we tie it up here. Grief is kind of a fancy word for recalibration and acceptance process. It's coming to accept the reality that you've run into, as unpleasant as it is. Again, that doesn't mean you approve of it, but that you accept it. And the more that you process this, the more acceptance you will have of it, and the more you'll get through to the other side. And as we're saying, you get through to the other side. You just have to trust the process. Yeah. So, as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.